Episode 8, it's the Art of Talking Bollocks, and this week I have the pleasure of welcoming one of my Sixth Sense brethren to the podcast. But no, we're not going to get into the Sixth Sense. No. We're going to be talking about, you know, or even better still, we're not even going to talk about his acting degree. Nah, fuck it. Maybe we will. But hey, we're going to talk about a bit of art and a bit of music this week. We're going to get cultural motherfuckers. That's what we're going to do. He's the man behind Jones Art, and he is the lead singer of the magnificent Cursed Son.
Ew.
He is the talented bastard that is Mr. Andrew Jones Cassidy. How do you do, sir?
Well, thanks very much. That's a lovely intro.
It was digging. I didn't mess it up once.
I'm half a rat.
So, my old son, what about you? I mean, it's not like we haven't spoken like since today on fucking like we do every day.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a very rare where at least one message doesn't come in a full day, and that's a rare thing for sure.
Yeah,
there's a chat at least every day, like.
There's always some sort of grumpy bastardom happens at one point where one of us are annoyed about something and then we kind of all just riff and then we get silly. But yeah. Hey, that's what it's all about, man. That keeps us fucking sane.
It does, man. It keeps us sane for particularly this fucking time.
Yeah. it's been shit because we actually haven't seen each other in what, 3 months?
Longer, man. Although I did randomly run into the Bill by, I'd say, Little one day. He was coming out of work and I was going to Little. And that was about a month into the lockdown. And it was just fucking weird seeing him. It's just, it was so odd.
How unlucky, like.
I know. Like, of all the ones I wanted to run into.
He deserves this. He deserves it. He's not here to call you all the names under the sun.
I'm sure you'll get him on.
Oh, he'll be on. I mean, he's been on. He has briefly been on one of the episodes, but I haven't had him one-on-one yet. But that will be a fun episode, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. But never mind that grey-haired old fuck. Right? It's about a young... He doesn't listen to this anyway. He's... Fucking wanker.
Probably not. So now you're talking about me, the no-haired owl cunt.
The no-haired owl cunt. That's who we're talking about. But this is where we are. And what I want to talk to you about is a bit of your music. You do art. You're also an actor. Jesus Christ, or anything you don't do, Jones? Fuck me. He plays basketball too. I bet your boy scores 3 points all over the place. But anyway, so where you're in Cursed Son. Do you want to maybe tell our listeners who maybe don't know who Cursed Son are, and then we'll kind of go into the story of how it began and how it all started for you? So you maybe
Not a problem, man. So Cursed Son, we've been around now for, I believe, this November or something. It's either 13 or 14 years we've been going, which is a long ass time, man. Especially for a band in our local scene to last this long. Yeah. It's relatively unheard of. There's only a couple that have made it to like 15 years, you know. So yeah, we're like a groove metal band, kind of think along the lines of, if you're into metal at all, Pantera, Lamb of God, you know, influences from many other places like Creator and a wee bit of Metallica maybe in there, Megadeth. So yeah, there's a load of different influences. One of my favorite, probably Mudvayne, who I really dig. So the music thing, we're still going. We're still writing. During the lockdown, I went out and shot. It was during the first month of the whole lockdown when, like, the streets were empty. It was eerie. And you can check the video out on YouTube if you look up Cursed Son Metal.
Well, dude, I'm going to share that. I'll share that on the page. Yeah, yeah. So you can check it out on the Art of Talking Bollocks page as well. So
awesome.
100%. That's great.
Thank you. Basically, I went out and filmed myself one morning just I got like a, what do you call it, like a fucking one of them stupid selfie sticks, but it wasn't a stupid selfie stick. It was one that has, you know, like you power it up and it stabilizes your phone and stuff, so you can kind of walk around. Not as much movement out of it. Still a bit shaky, but it's not as bad. So
I've seen it, man. It's you wouldn't think that. You wouldn't think you were filming that off your phone, man. You know.
Yeah, it doesn't look. It does. It looks pretty good, man. Considering it's all made on my phone. So the song is Fallen City off our latest EP, Vendetta. But just the idea behind it as like, why don't, because we're not going to be able to meet up, we were meant to be filming another couple of videos for the EP. Obviously this happened, it shut down one of the videos, which was meant to happen in April. So we decided, like, I was like, fuck, what can I do? Like, we need a bit of content to keep throwing it out there so people don't forget the name, you know? So went out and filmed one morning, stuck the white contacts in, freaky contacts, put the hood up, walking around 7 o'clock in the morning, Belfast City Centre, and fucking just filming themselves. I seen a few drunks walking about, which was brilliant, trying to avoid them. Like, baiting them with a fucking selfie stick. Get away! Hey!
It was like a zombie movie, man.
it was so fucking odd. It's the oddest experience of filming I've ever had. Especially being there on my own, because who knows what fucking maniacs are about Belfast City Centre.
Dude, all you have to get... Yeah, you could have been.
And mental.
Jeez. I mean, but do you know, it's, even we've done our Sixth Sense stuff, I mean, you just have to lift a fucking camera out these days and someone will try and hijack what you're trying to do.
Yep, without a doubt. They're all like jumping in on it. And I'm like, especially for this video, I wanted it to be so isolated that it's just me and there's a couple of shots in the edit. Johnny, our guitar player, edited the video. There's a couple of shots I seen and he didn't recognize. I was like, fuck, there's a bus that just nipped by there. You could barely just see it. And yeah. I was like, we got to cut that bit out. Anything with any sort of human interaction, I was like, yeah, it has to be just me on my own throughout this whole video to make it kind of spooky. And there was another dude that was around, you know, the corn market, you know, the big circle statue.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some fucker behind me. I was like, oh, bastard. That was a good shot, too. So we had to cut that bit out. But yeah, man, we got it done. I filmed it real early that morning. We came home and sent it off, all the stuff off to Johnny, and he did a great job in the edit. Yeah. And it was just something I thought about it. It was one of the songs off the EP that I didn't really have an idea for a video. But I had to think of something for it because I was like, why not? We can still maybe do the other two songs after lockdown at some point.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do about this final song? And that was the idea I came up with and kind of ran with it. And it turned out pretty good.
So when you write stuff, and I'm probably jumping ahead on what I want to do, but do you kind of have an idea of a video as well sometimes? It's like a story to you? Because I know you know, obviously you write as well, movies and comedy and stuff. Do you sometimes have that in your head? So when you're, because I write stupid fucking music, as we know. I don't write music, I write silly songs and stuff sometimes, but it's not proper. You know, when you're doing it for a fucking proper group. Like, you know, are you thinking in your head, right, there's a story here, or I can think of a video while I'm writing this, or does it just end?
Yeah, there's always something. There's some sort of images there, because I try and write. I guess I write songs kind of like a movie maker. Like, I always have this story in mind. It's not just random words. Like, if you listen to a Chili Pepper song, it's just steak knife, cod shark, boot job. You know, it's like, rambling on about fucking Anthony Kiedis.
It's just like a dictionary, and they're like, yep, steak knife, right, that'll do. Right?
I said he's looking through an Argos catalog. Xylophone, kids' toy, park bench. So, yeah, I try and write like as if I'm creating a story. And I always have to have kind of deeper meanings or double meanings or something. So if you listen to it over and over again, you're like, oh, that could mean this or it could mean that. I don't like it to be too straightforward. There's not many songs that I've written that are straight to the point. There's always a lot of, for example, I did a song called Dissension, and it's about my fear of sharks. But I don't mention shark in it. You would not think it's anything to do with shark. It's more kind of, it's about it being in the depths and being alone and being in the dark and stuff. It's kind of, there's a lot more to it, you know what I mean? So I try not to be so kind of see-through, if you get me, when I'm right.
Absolutely. You have layers in your songs.
Oh, well, now, some might.
Taylor.
Like an onion. Layers like an onion.
No, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I've seen you perform live as well. You can tell when something's good and when something's shite, right? Yeah. These are good. You know, I may not be the biggest fan of metal, but I can tell when a group's good. I can tell when, you know, you singing's good and the fucking band, like if you can't get pumped up for that music, dude, it's awesome. I mean, I was listening to a couple of songs and I was going, it was Murder, Death, Kill. And it reminds me, it would be an awesome, I actually thought MDK would be an awesome wrestling stable, and that music blasting as that stable comes out. That would be amazing.
And imagine that you'd create like three brand new characters and they were called Murder, Death, and Kill.
Yeah.
No.
You know?
MDK, sort of. Like Demolition.
That's it, man. Honestly, it just... But that's what I mean. It's you know, it's, yous are damn good. I mean, that's people have said, I've been talking to people, and, you know, about the guys in the group and all, and in the Sixth Sense, and they go, oh, fucking, you know, Jones is in a band and all. They're like, oh, what sort of band? I said, what's a metal band? But it's like, you know, nice, like, you know, you can tell the person doesn't like metal. He's like, but, you know, they're fucking awesome. Do you know what I mean? They're an awesome group. Everything to do is, you know, it's perfect. It's professional. You know, you can tell. I mean, but even I've listened to your first album as well, or the first stuff you've done, and was like, I wonder how different it is. There's not a, I mean, it's, yes, it's different, but the quality's still there. The quality's been there from day one. It's not that you've got better, you know, yes, you've got better, but it was top quality from day one.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. I think when we started out, that was our thing, was to write good songs. It was obviously everybody wants to write good songs, but some of it is very hit and miss. We always tried to keep going at a song until we got it right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then, like, we didn't want to put out anything. We there's a few songs we used to play live and stuff, and they were good. They were good, fun songs to play, but I don't think they were good enough for us ever to record. So there's a good four or five, maybe six songs out there that we never recorded, but we used to play them live because they were fun for us to play live, and maybe they were quick or got people going. So we decided, you know, maybe they weren't good enough to record. Yeah, you record your best stuff and hope it hits a fucking nerve somewhere and people dig it or remember it or go, oh, I love the chorus and that, and they sing along to it. And fucking, it's like, but way back, we did, I've got our CDs actually sitting in front of me because I knew we were going to talk about it. And it's been that long since I looked at our old stuff. We haven't played any of our old stuff in years.
Yeah.
But so we started off and we did two EPs with basically four songs in each. And then by this stage, we had started to make, it was a couple of years in, we started to make really good headway and we got to play with a couple of big bands and stuff. And then we decided, fuck, I don't know why, but we were like, oh, make a full album. So we're like, right, yeah, that's a good idea. We'll do a full album. But what we did, and I'll tell this to any younger bands, don't do what we did. We basically stopped gigging. We had made all this way and this, you know, like we'd got a good wee name for ourselves, getting big gigs and stuff. And then we stopped gigging for a whole year to write this album. And people forget about you.
Yeah.
And other younger bands come up and then they start taking that spot. So what I suggest is keep doing the odd gig. to keep your name. Like, we stopped for a full year, man. And then after that, we released the album, and then we had to build from the fucking ground up again.
Damn. So you were like, you had this great momentum building up, and then you just kind of just fucking hell on
it. Just totally dropped it. And you don't think that that's the way, because, you know, you'll think, for example, fucking Coldplay or something, right? Oh. They'll make an album. I know, horrible. But they'll make an album, but they've got all year round music play on the radio stations. That album will still... So they can leave and not do gigs for 2 years, make a new album. But their music's still playing on the radio, so people still remember.
It's like Peter Kay.
Hi.
Peter Kay doesn't do anything for about 10 years. You know, he has... Well, all right, maybe 10 years is an exaggeration, but he's fucking never stopped repeats on TV of Peter Kay, but he never does anything new. I'm not saying pool player Peter Kay, I'm just saying... He can do that. He's a millionaire now.
He got to the top of the game, you know what I mean? He made his name. Like, we're still a fucking underground band. Yeah. And to get that momentum and then lose it, because there's no airplay really for metal. There's no nothing like that anymore.
That's what I was going to say. It's to build that momentum, because, you know, it's not a huge scene.
Yeah.
Over here. Anyway, I'm guessing you've kind of said that to me. It's not a massive scene over, because, you know, so to get yourself into a position, and then, but then you don't know, man. It's all trial and error, isn't it? Like, it's the same as anything else. You don't know. You think you're doing something right, and then, fuck, I'm pretty sure we've done it in the comedy there. There's things we've kind of done and went, maybe this is a mistake, or, you know, because you don't know. You're trying your best to do it. So, you know, but hey, you got an album out of it.
Which is cool. It's still a good album, like, but I don't think we'll ever do that again. I wish a more reputable band or something, a band that, you know, has more influence or, you know, more time in the scene, would have told us, just make sure do the odd gig. I can't wait. So that's my shout out to any younger bands out there. If you're doing if you're gonna take time off to write, at least do the odd gig to keep the name out there.
Well, there you go, man. You're doing what fucking other bands should have done with you, and says, hey, guys, don't be doing that. So fair play to you.
I've told a few bands about that, man. I've talked to some boys in the scenes and younger kids and stuff, and they're like, we're going to write an album next night. I've basically explained that story and went, do not just hide away and you'll just lose any momentum. John Wayne calls it momentum. You lose all that momentum.
So, are you, like, would that be your advice be, don't write an album? Or is it you wait to do an album till you get to a certain place? Or what if you could do it all over again, or would you still do the album?
I totally would do the album. And a lot of bands don't do EPs like we do, because I just think if you do an EP, you can drop one every year. Yeah. That's 4 or 5 songs, brand new, promote it, do a couple of videos, and then the next year you do the same. So you're constantly doing something.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes bands around here, or any bands in the world even, especially if you're part-time. You know, this is not our job. You know what I mean? Everybody's got full-time jobs. They've got other things going, families. You maybe only practice once or twice a week. So you're only able to write so quick.
Yeah.
So an EP works for us, but yeah, I would totally do the album. And a lot of bands do full albums, and that's all they do. But they maybe have the time, or maybe they're really quick writers or whatever. We're pretty prolific writers. Like, we'll write songs and have them knocked out pretty quickly. But it's then you got to think about putting it all together, your artwork, the getting the CDs printed, thinking about radio play, thinking about when new t-shirts. It all takes months and months and months to build up.
The thing I love about that, man, is it's I know it's not, it's very punk ethos, which I like. That's what I do like.
Yeah.
You do everything in house, man. You do everything in house, which is I dig that. That's something that it's kind of, you know, that's what any comedy group I've done, even us in the Sixth Sense, it's that punk ethos. We'll do it ourselves. We'll build it. and hopefully they will come. And I think that's class, man. You know what? Yeah, okay, it's not going to get you fucking rich. But sometimes it's not about getting rich. It's about the enjoyment of it. It's what I was saying to Rory in the last episode. It was like, sometimes, man, you got to look back and go, did you have fun doing this shit? Hell yeah. So
that's it, man. And it's, you think, because I was listening to your last episode today and saying that to Rory, I totally agree. Like, if you don't enjoy it, don't do it. But if you fucking still enjoy it, like, I still enjoy the music, like, and it's near, like I said, 13 years or whatever since we started. I've still got the drive to write new music and create video, and I love the live performance, you know what I mean? I think I'm a pretty decent front man, like, and try and get the crowd going. So, you know, I still love to do it. So that's why I'm going to keep doing it and just hope the other boys feel the same.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the thing I was telling Rory, that's only something I've really come to a conclusion of in the past year. And fuck, how many times have I nearly quit the Sixth Sense in the past year? You know, it's not anything to do with the thing that's pulled me back was when we meet, it's fucking great crack. And, you know, with it, you know, genuinely, when you're sitting in a room and the ideas are flowing, you love that. But just sometimes, and I'm sure you feel it sometimes with Cursed Son, is maybe you don't. You're a very optimistic guy where you kind of get to the point where you're going, for fuck's sake, well, someone give us a break. We're good here. You know what I mean? It's like, it's an NBC pish that's out there getting, you know, all this recognition. You're going, but look at me.
It's fucking tough, man. The whole scene and trying to get them big gigs with bigger bands and stuff. Like when you get one, it's a fucking amazing feeling, and you know you're going to play in front of a decent crowd, and hopefully then they'll become fans of yours. But it's getting that, you have to know the promoter, you have to fucking have done something recently and all that, so that's why you have to keep going.
And it's tough, but man, I think the other thing is it's the hard work that goes into making it. Again, going, I was talking about the punk ethos of you make it yourself, you do everything in the house, it knackers you out. You know what I mean? And then you get, that's when the anger and the fucking frustration comes out, you know what I mean? Where you're like, I've worked my balls off here, and I keep, you know, you get it with the band, we get it with Sixth Sense, as people tell you, oh, fuck, that's fucking brilliant, you guys are brilliant. Oh, last year at our show, there was people going, oh, are these guys not on TV? People who came from Scotland, you know? And you'd probably get that with Cursed Son. Yous are bound to, because you would think it's like, yous look, and don't take this as a compliment, by the way. I seen yous in the limelight, and I remember thinking to myself, yous are so fucking out of place here, man. You should be playing mass crowds, dude. You know, that's no disrespect to Limelight. Limelight help a lot of bands get them, you know, do gigs and stuff, I'm sure. I don't know the crack, but I mean that in a good way, because you as a front man and a band, the energy you guys have, and I'm like, and God bless the folks that come and see you all the time, by the way, because I'm sure you're like, do you know what I mean? But to me, it was like, I remember just sitting thinking, this band deserves more, do you know, because of the quality. But there you go. Well, that's the nice thing I'm ever saying to you.
Thanks very much. No, I appreciate that, man. But I also feel, you know, kind of the same. Like every band's going to feel the same about their own stuff, you know. But I do believe we put on a fucking great show and we get the energy going, and there's never a lull in our set, you know what I mean? Even if, like, we did our EP launch last August there, and, you know, it was decent enough crowd. Like, we were hoping for more, but it was a strange place to do it and stuff, but it was still a great gig, and that was an hour and 10 minutes or something we done, and that's the longest we have played live in fucking a long time. Yeah. Usually get a gig and it's like 30 minutes. You know, you do five or six songs and that's it. But we kept the energy up, you know, an hour and 10, flat out, you know, and all good reactions and stuff. Sold a few CDs, couple of T-shirts, but you think to yourself, it's not enough. Not everybody didn't buy the CD, or like, I didn't see a fucking sea of T-shirts, you know. It's a bit disheartening sometimes when you put all that work in, you get the artwork done, the CDs, the T-shirts, and you only sell a few or whatever. And then you only, for the EP launch, we only done 2 gigs off the back of it. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's a fucking waste. In my eyes, you know, we should have been playing a weekend in England or Scotland, you know, as well, playing more gigs down south. It's just, it's tough when everybody's got, like, some of the band members have got kids and shit now and families and,
yeah,
tough.
We, again, very parallel to what we're doing as well. All the, you know, Max has now started a family, you know, or me and Bill are on the other sort of side now, and we're, and you, you know, so maybe soon we can have a bit more time to do stuff, you know, but, but yeah, man, it's again, it's frustrating. But then that's the kind of thing that leveled me out, was going, but I'm enjoying what we're doing, and if I'm having a laugh and we're putting stuff out there, then I don't care. Don't get me wrong. When I first started out, I was like, I was in a hurry. You know, I turned 30, and I was like, just really, I'd only been doing it for about a year and a half, 2 years, and went, fuck, man, I have to do this tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? And then when it didn't happen tomorrow, you know, your mental health, you start thinking, getting down, and fuck's sake, this isn't it. And there's part, you're going, how can something I've got so much passion for and work so hard at not get me where I want it to be? Do you know what I mean? And then, don't get me wrong, then you go, well, maybe it's because I'm shit. But then, you know, but then the other party goes, well, no, just, like, it's an odyssey sometimes. And at the end of the day, now my wiser, well, not wise, but I'm a bit wiser now, and I kind of go, well, but I've enjoyed it, you know. I kind of reflected back on what I've done and gone, but I've had a good time, so fuck it. Let's keep going. Do you know what I mean?
It's a fucking, it's sad in the respect that, yeah, we're talking about, we've been doing this for years and you're like, still didn't get there. I never think I haven't got there or whatever. Like, I've said from day one when I started acting, like, I'm going to keep doing this until I make it, or I'm just going to keep doing it until I die. So it's, either way, I'm just going to keep doing it, whether it's in the writing capacity, fucking acting, singing, some sort of performance. Yeah. I'm going to keep doing it because that's all I can do. All I can do is anything like that. I can do a bit of writing. I'm a fucking singer, performer, actor, comedian, whatever you may want to call it. Just a performer, I guess. That's all I can do, man.
That's what drags me. Sorry for cutting you. That's it, man. It's the thing that keeps me, again, when I said, you know, I've had those moments of, I'm done with this. And I'm like, no, don't. It's because I enjoy it. I enjoy doing it. And I was like, what are you going to do otherwise, you klutz?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? What else are you going to do, Steve?
Want to just,
come on.
Yeah. You'll end up just going to work, coming home, watching TV, going to bed, going to work, coming home, watching TV, going to bed. It would be a fucking pretty miserable existence, I would think. I have to keep my brain ticking over doing some sort of something productive. Whether I even find, like, if I'm sitting about a full day, I'll go, I've done fuck all today. I should have done something, whether it's pick up a pen, write a line, fucking think of a comedy sketch, you know. I have to do at least one thing a day that keeps me ticking over, because then I'm like, I feel good about that.
I'm totally dig it. Totally dig that, man. That's I'm exactly, well, I kind of go on fucking spurts of energy, spurting. I'm talking about spurting now.
For sure. Them curtains are covered, son.
But you know what I mean? It's like someone turns a tap on and it won't go off. But when it goes off, sometimes it's like, right, I'll drain myself almost, you know, and I'll go, I can't do anything now. And then I get angry because I can't write anything. It's a vicious circle sometimes, but that's what it is, and that's what you got to do. Like,
yeah, man. I sat for ages over, we had a new song that was sent to me. We had the guitar and drums down for it and recorded. So it's rough kind of, but it's just how the song goes, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, whatever. And I have it on my phone. So the whole lockdown thing happened. We stopped practicing and I was like, right, I need to write that song. And I kept saying that to myself, but nothing was coming to my head for an night. I need an idea for a song. I can't just write random lyrics. Like I said, I have to have a story or something in mind. Like, even if it's some, like, say, for example, one of our songs called Ascension is about God of War. So, and it's basically about the God of War character and the game. So I'll do a lot of kind of fantasy stuff as well as real life stuff. But anything that it really interests me and I find the story interesting, that's what I write about. But I'll fucking do my take on it, obviously. So, but I need a story. So it took me at least 2 months there before I even came up with an idea for that song. And I listened to it over and over. Eventually got it. And started writing stuff down and researching stuff online about the song and whatever. I'll release it at another date. But yeah, I eventually got it down and then kind of sent the lyrics and stuff over to the boys. So yeah, sometimes, like you said, you're drained and nothing comes to mind. And eventually something, an idea kicked in. And it could have been me just watching a movie or something going, the thought of like, the government doing experiments on people. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. Then I started thinking about like super soldiers and how, you know, like the likes of the way Scarlett Johansson in Avengers is like a super soldier. Like she was trained as a kid, like taken away from her parents, trained as a kid to become this fucking super spy. Kind of like thinking, what if you almost like born identity and all that? And I was like, that's very interesting. That whole, the government taking me as a kid, or it's like, can I write about that? And then I started researching about it and like Russian stuff and American stuff and about how they would train an assassin or something. So it kind of came from that. And I done a load of research, wrote wee bits, notes down, and then kind of formed a kind of my own story about it. Yeah. And that's kind of what it's like, what it's about, you know. Kind of at the minute, it's called The Experiment. And it's basically about people being experimented on. So, yeah, I just thought that was an interesting idea and started writing it. And it then flowed really easily because I fucking had the idea.
It's really good when that happens, though.
It's great, man, because I was sitting for ages. And I kept going to Johnny, who sent me the music, our lead guitar player. I was like, I'll definitely have this for next week. And then the week turned around. I was like, I'll definitely have a version of this for next week, and then it kept going. And it just fucking snowballed. And I just went, you know what? I'll just send it to you when it's ready. I'm not going to tell you anymore that it's almost ready.
But no, it's lovely when it flows, man. It really is. It's the same in writing a script. It's like, oh, I'm at the sweet spot. And you say there's different things get you going. I wrote one of the first things. The first short films I put on my own out in the VAR was Guy and Dolls. And I wrote that literally listening to the Ramones' Baby I Love You over and over again because it got me thinking. Now I got the read the scene in that, the opening scene, that's the bed bouncing up and down. And if you listen to that song, there's that. And then I literally wrote, listening to that song, and I was powering away writing it. So it's amazing what you say. Music seems to do that for me. I can listen, if I listen to music, I'll start writing. It inspires me, man, to write stuff, you know. And it may not be what's being played in there, but it just okay, it gets the old brain going. But I think I was always like that. I used to do a bit of art, believe it or not. I would have drawn like cartoon, but it was not for anyone to see, just for me. It was me get out of the way. I used to stick music on and just draw like cartoon characters and blah, blah, blah. And all. Like I'm talking about not making cartoon characters. I'm actually just talking about like fucking Looney Tunes characters and just sketching away at them and drawing them. And it was the most common thing ever. Do you know what I mean? Just with the music on and doing that. And I used to do that quite a bit and then just stopped. And now I can't draw a stick, man. I don't know why, but I was able to do it back then, and I'll try to do it ever since. I can't do it, but anyway, that's enough of me talking shite, man. But man, we're talking about the creative process and all, but I'm wondering, when did it start for you? When did you first go, I'm pretty sure, you know, did you go, I want to be in a band?
Well, I'll throw it back really quickly, and we don't really have to talk about this, but then I'll move on to...
Sure, no, go for it, man.
So, back when I was 16, me and my mate Richie Connolly, we were both bored one summer, and we found out that there was a group called the Phoenix Players who were downtown St. Mary's Hall. That's where you found Hit Players Ball. The other is in St. Mary's Hall. But we found out that they were doing a play and like audition. I was like, that'll be interesting, man, because we were bored. Like, all we did was like play basketball every day. That was it. So we got bored and we're like, right, tomorrow we'll go down. We'll meet a load of new people, maybe get to be on in a play on stage.
Cool.
And we went down and auditioned and got parts for the play. And so that was the Phoenix Players. That was at 16, man. So I then did a load of plays from there. My second play, like that first play was called Dazzle, which was like a Star Trek spoof. Really funny. But I actually, unfortunately, never got to audition because the audition was taking place a certain date and I was off on holiday with the family. But anyway, I still got a part. So I was kind of in the background doing, I was a character called the Swampy.
Right.
Just this fucking weird character in the background. But anyhow, I loved it, really enjoyed it. I hadn't done anything like that before. Don't even think I ever did a school play. So I was in the school choir with Cax.
That'll be fucking, that's something to see.
That was fucking interesting. So the following year, I was like, I'm going to go back and do another play with these guys. It was great fun, you know, met a load of new people. Met Kieran McKeever, who's now still one of my best friends in Cursed Son, actually, rhythm guitar player. So met him there.
There you go.
Yeah, man, I met him there. I was 16. He was just like 15. So, but the next play came up, and this time I got the audition, and it was Bugsy Malone.
Oh.
So I was like, right, let's do this. And I started putting on the X and all, you know. So I was like, and there was a load of people that had been there for years before me. This was my second ever play. And I got the main bad guy, Dandy Dan, in the play. I got role.
Yeah.
So I was like, holy shit, I must be doing something right here. Because they were laughing at my audition and I'd done really well. Obviously, because I got the part. So I was like, fuck, I'm going to stick with this. You know, in my my second ever play, but my first ever audition, I got the main role, one of the main roles. Oh, ahead of a load of other people that had been there before me, you know, that had put the years in.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't know if they were too happy about that.
Fuck them.
But that's how it went, man. That's how, so obviously musicals, you're doing singing and stuff and dancing and all that. Then, so built on up through the years, and I'd done plays like I was Kinnicky in Grease and Mr. Mushnick and Little Shop of Horrors, and I was in Jesus Christ Superstar, all that shit.
Oh, dude.
Man, it was awesome. So eventually we moved from Portadown to the Moy, and we were living in the Moy, and me and Cax, my bro from Sixth Sense, if everybody knows, like he used to be in bands and stuff. I'm sure he'll tell you about that next week.
If he agrees to come on, like
he better
Cax. I'm telling you now.
So he had got the itch to try and start up a band again. So I was about 20 at this stage. He got the itch, and we were big into metal again and stuff because he had kind of dropped out of metal a wee bit because he used to be in bands and whatever. And then he started to pick up the whole metal thing again, playing bass again. And we were in the Sly Fox, which is a bar that we used to work in the Moy. We were both bartenders there. And we were up drinking one night, so we were off. We weren't drinking behind the bar, but we used to.
Yeah. No. Anyway, the bar, man. It was great.
It was awesome. Loved it. That's for another day. I could tell you many stories about drinking behind the bar.
I'm sure.
But we were up on a Saturday night having a drink. We were going to spend the night there fucking having a boogie and whatever. And we were one of the first couple of people there because we were like, fuck it, go up and grab one of the booth. We'll sit and have a few pints before all the people pile in for the nightclub. And he goes to me, I want to start up a band again. Any chance you can sing metal? Like? And I was like, well, yeah, like anytime you and Davey's out of the house, I'll sneak into your room and listen to your CDs and fucking sing along. So I was like, yeah, man. And he's like, sing one, kind of on the spot. And I was like, here? Now? What the fuck? In the middle of the bar? Like,
can I like, drinking right. them, I guess?
I. So I just went, right, okay. And then at that stage, I think it's caught him in, what, 2001? And Papa Roach had just come out and over that. Yeah. Cut my life into pieces. This yeah. is my last resort. So I started singing that to him. And I sang that and the chorus. And he went, that's it, you're in. And I was like, ooh, easiest audition ever. Now buy me a pint. Buy your lead singer a pint.
To sang you.
I signed you up with a pint. I'll have a packet of salt and vinegar peanuts as well.
Pure fucking rock and roll. Pure rock and roll.
So that was kind of how it started, man. And then from there, we got my brother Davey to play drums. So he was drums. Kex was bass and backing vocals. I was the lead singer. And then we were like, we need two partners.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. These were like the Metal Hanson.
We the Cassidy's.
Bop.
But yeah, just have here, just bring it down a few keys. Boom, bop. Doom, bop. Skip it out.
Was there ones that was like guys who thought that maybe Cax was a girl and they all wanted to buck him?
yeah, long hair at that stage, I.
Anyway.
That's spiky blonde hair. They might have thought I looked like fucking Roxette.
Oh, Jesus, I could do the one with the spiky hair. Oh, yes. Thanks. Oh, no, I'll take the one with the long hair. Oh.
So we got the trilogy of the Bays together. And we're like, right, we need two guitar players and so one of my best mates, Potty, played rhythm guitar, and his wee brother was fucking awesome on lead guitar. So we said to them, like, do you want to join the band? We'll go start practicing and stuff. We'll just do cover stuff. So we were doing, they were like, yeah, that's cool. We started doing a load of cover songs. Like, we were called Zero, which is a reference to a Smashing Pumpkins song, which we just thought was a cool name. And we started doing stuff like Marilyn Manson, Papa Roach, Korn, Smashing Pumpkins, of course, Deftones. It was all stuff like that, stuff that we all loved. And we were actually, without trying to blow our own trumpets there, like, we were one of the best kind of cover bands about because nobody was doing that type of stuff. And that's the stuff at that time. That was the whole new metal thing, Limp Bizkit and Korn and all. People fucking were all over that. Like, even people that worked.
Geez,
so, you know, that was that was the start of the fucking whole metal thing, you know?
Wow. So it was kind of, again, you started off as metal Hanson. That's a fucking match.
We were called Handsome.
That, hey, dude, you know what? That would have been a fucking amazing name for you three.
It would
have. Metal Hanson. That would have been fucking, honestly, man. Hey, we're Metal Hanson. I'm a fucking dude, all right? Don't betray her. Anyway, I'm talking shite now. But yeah, man, so, I mean, so your first gig, was it like fucking, how, like, Jesus, man, you've done gigs, but to get, but then I suppose you were doing the musical stuff, so that probably helped you. You, it probably took the nerves away. It probably would have been scarier if you'd never sang in front of an audience before. Were you?
Oh, so, without a doubt, man, but because Cax had seen some of the plays and stuff, I think that was built into his choice for trying to maybe use me as the front man.
Yeah.
So, and at this stage, I don't know, I'm pretty sure I could still do this, but on stage and stuff, I used to cartwheel and front flip and walk on my hands and stuff, you know. I used to do just different shit. I was like doing stuff to make people notice the band and whatever. They're like, oh, fuck, he just front flipped. It was stuff like that. Like, I'd cartwheel off stages and stuff. Just to try and be kind of different. And it made an impact, man. And that's kind of where it all started, like I said.
Well, I never knew that, man. It's just really interesting to fucking find out where it first, you know, it started, but with all those different plays and then doing that there. The play thing, funny you say, it brought back memories of myself. I was in school. I did do school plays. Now, for years, didn't get picked for fuck all. Didn't get picked for fucking anything. They wouldn't pick me for anything.
Dirty Trump.
Honestly, it pissed me off. I even got, I know you were watching the Rick Mail, Lord of Misrule, the part where his teacher goes to him, you're a terrible singer, don't sing. My teacher, my P2 teacher, came up to me and says, Stephen Barrett, you're like a piece of meat standing there. Don't, you can't even sing. And I was like, or my dream broken in two for fucking,
yeah. There you go. See, that can leave a lasting effect. Like,
it really, I was six. I was like,
I know, like, you know, Jesus Christ, calm down. Like,
yeah, so I was like, okay. And then, so I remember in P4, this is a wee story. P4, I got picked to be a shepherd and I was absolutely delighted. I was like, I'm a fucking chef. Finally got a part. I can dress up. I'm not in the choir. I'm fucking, yeah, I'm not that piece of meat singing. And then we were really excited. There was me and two other people. And I think we were ones we'd never been picked before. So we're fucking giddy. And the teacher lost her rag and took the part off us. Because she was trying to talk. We were like, ooh, like, you know, that. It's like, we were it. So I was like, I am never getting this part.
Dude, that school sounds like fucking hell.
It's like, don't get me wrong. It was a decent enough school. I sent my kids there, but It was like, they've tucked up. I was raging, man. I was raging. So I got the P5 and I was like, and there was a thing called the Tuesday Afternooners Club, which was basically, they did like musicals and all. It was like a set. And I was like, well, I ain't getting a part. I ain't getting a fucking part here. And I got auditioned and I got a part. I got a part as an Isle guy. It was like the 60s. And so I learned all these 60s and I love 60s music and blah, blah, blah. And we got to sing all these 60s songs. And I got the part of an old shopkeeper. And I had to tell these kids off and chase them off the street. And I played it. Like, at first I played it. And they're like, Stephen, you're supposed to be playing an old man. You know, you need to act old. So I was like, oh, I could do that. And I always remember being like, oh, Jesus. You know, here's your speech, kiddies. And I was class. That sounded wrong.
That didn't sound wrong. Especially if you're giving them Werther's Originals.
But it was the 80s, dude. It was normal. And and I got, you know, see, after that, every part I got, and then they gave me, it was Fagin in Oliver Twist, and nice. I got too big for my boots, Jones, and just didn't turn up the auditions. Thought it was too good, and I lost it. I didn't get it, and I didn't know I got it. They were telling my mum, my mum used to run a bakery in Saintfield, and the teachers all used to eat out there, so I hated that. Used to get their sandwiches and all that there from it, and they went and said, you know, Stephen would have got Fagin if he had turned up to some rehearsals and stuff. You know, it killed me, dude, because that would have been awesome. I would have loved that. So there you go.
That would have been lethal. Fuck's sake, dude.
My high school didn't do anything. We had a music teacher who was a bullshitter, and you were saying about Kinnicky and Grease. She was like, oh, she got us in the class one day to do a Grease thing, and one guy got up, he says, here, come with me. So we were like standing on the tables and dancing on the tables. I can't dance. I have no rhythm, as you've probably seen before, Jones. But she was going, oh, we're going to do a play. And we were like, oh, that's pretty cool. And she never did. And then a year later, she said something similar. We just didn't even listen to her. Like, you're full of fucking shit, woman. So with your set, it just took me, and that was years since I did fucking acting. Like, well, there you go. So that's my connection to you. When I heard you saying the musicals, I was like, oh damn, dude, that just brings me back to shit, what could have been.
Yeah, man, I loved the Phoenix Players, man. It really did help my performance, obviously. I don't think I'd have been able to be a kind of performer unless I did that, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like that was my training.
That's it. It's the same. I mean, I was very lucky, and that's what I said. Chris Heath, I'll always be thankful to Chris for getting me to go to the comedy improv class, because that awoke what I had done when I was a kid. I loved it when I was a kid. Man, I was like, and it felt very natural to me. And for him to get me, I was like, oh, this, I love this, and that's what got my creative. So yeah, that's class to hear. Well, no, it's because there's a lot of stuff I don't. We've been in this group for how long? And there's like, things like that I don't know.
No,
we'll talk about loads of things, but no, I mean that's fucking awesome. I mean, and by the way, here is breaking news on the Art of Talking Bollocks podcast. Chris Cax Cassidy has agreed to be in episode 9. There you go. You heard it here first, folks. There you go.
9.
So you've kind of said, we've kind of got, so what started Cursed Son? I mean, moving on to that. When, how long, you use your fort, what age, so, what was that?
13 or 14 years ago now, man. Yeah. So basically I was working, let me see, try and work out the timings here. So I had finished Queen's and I got my drama degree. And then I started, instead of trying to get like a fucking go straight into the business and try and be an actor and stuff, for some reason I kind of let that slip away for quite a few years, but I'll get back to that at some point. I was working in bars basically, and I was working at a bar called the Mercury up the Armour Road.
Not
too far from the Argyle, just right across the street. I was working in there. And then I was working there for a while, and then another guy came in. He had long hair, he had the ponytail up, and it was guy Bryn Boothby. So I met Bryn in there as a barman, and he was like, oh, I'm into metal and stuff. I was like, oh, me too. I used to be in a band, and he's like, oh, I used to be in a band. And he's like, I play guitar, or mainly play bass at this stage. He's like, I play bass and write some music and stuff. And then eventually got talking and went, why don't we just sit down and try and write some music? And he's like, oh, hi, cool. I've got a friend who plays guitar too. So he brought his mate Jay over, and we just sat jamming for a while, started writing a wee bit here and there. And eventually we got Pablo in on drums. And then back then, like, you couldn't put a post up on Facebook because it didn't exist. It was like you'd have to put a poster down at Matchett's and go, new band needing drummer, and
I remember seeing those posters going by Matchett's.
That's what you had to do. You had to put up a poster and then hope that somebody rang you, and then hope that they lived nearby and they had their own kit and their own gear and whatever. And then we would eventually we all met up and then kind of formed a band and went through a few different members. Like Pablo was with us for years playing drums, and then eventually Jay, who's really a guitar player, came in and he played drums. He wasn't too bad. Then he left, and then we eventually got Chris, who's now our drummer and has been a drummer for fucking many years now. But Johnny and Kieran have been kind of there from nearly the start. And Bryn is now gone. Me and him were the kind of originators of the band.
Yeah.
So we created the band. Eventually, like a few years back or whatever, he left. And we had Monty as a bass player. And then now we've got, I believe, is what is our strongest lineup to date, with Steve Martin as well. So there's Steve, Kieran, me, Johnny, and Chris is now the band. So, and we've 6 CDs from that So five EPs and that fateful album that fucked us over.
That's, I mean, that is, man, that's awesome. So I'm gonna let's have a couple of questions I've written down here that because there was one couple of things I wanted to know. It's the fabled, what was your favorite gig and what was your worst gig? Has there been a worst gig? Has there been a gig where you went, that is a disaster, man? Or not for you? Not, I don't mean that you use play. Maybe it is something that went wrong for you, but just a place where you went, oh, I don't like that gig. We've all had them.
Fuck, I'm trying to think, man. There's definitely a few gigs that haven't went great, or the, you know, the crowd haven't been great, or you're playing in front of 10 people, which, you know, sometimes it happens. Trying to think. Fuck, there's definitely a few out there, man. I think Kieran has a really good story about trying to get a gig together, and you know, we were all ready. Oh, I can tell you one real quick.
Here we go.
So we rarely get to play at Dublin. So a few years back we got to play on this big fucking big event bill in Fibbers. There might have been, you know, 12 to 15 bands playing, and we were riding high up, you know, about mid card, kind of. Fucking excited to play. We hadn't played Dublin in a year or two, maybe. Could have been longer, who knows. And we set off and we're driving downtown past City Hall to try and, or like near City Hall to try and get onto the motorway. And do you know where the new big fucking hotel is? Right across from the Ulster Hall now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Big hotel. Johnny's exhaust on his car fell off.
Oh fuck.
You just hear the fucking, you can hear the sparks, or you can see the sparks and hear the fucking trailing of the thing. We turned in around the corner of what is now that new big hotel, and we parked up, and this was like three or four hours before we're meant to be on. So, you know, we're trying to get down there. It takes 2 hours to get down there. So we get out and look underneath the car, and there's the fucking exhausts laying on the ground.
Oh, shit.
So that's our worst gig, and that's a gig we never even got to fucking play.
Oh, my God.
Because we had been so excited to play it, and hadn't played there in years, and we were like, fuck, we'll get some new fans down in Dublin on a big gig like that. That's going to be packed. And we never got to make it.
There you go. There you go. But you got a great story out of it.
Yeah. So finally got to that story.
There you go. What about the best? I mean, is there one that you sticks out in your mind going, that's my best gig ever? That's the one where the crowd were amazing. We were amazing.
There's definitely a few that stick out for me. There's, well, two of my favorites. We played with my favorite band. One of my favorite bands is called Head PE.
Yeah.
HEDP.E. They're awesome. They're from, I think, Florida, from America, California. From America, anyway. They're fucking awesome. They're like, it's like rap, metal, rock, hip-hop, fucking fusion with a bit of reggae in there. Like, it's such a cool, kind of different band. So they've played over here 3 times now, and we've got to play with them twice. And it's just really unfortunate that they haven't pulled a big crowd, and I don't know why, because the first time they played, they were playing in the Empire with Alien Ant Farm.
Yeah.
Remember? Smooth Criminal.
Yeah, Smooth Criminal, that's it, yeah.
So Alien Ant Farm were playing, and Head PE were below them, and then another couple of bands, and that was fucking packed. We were at the show and got to drink shots and stuff with the guitar player from Head PE, and this was the first time they were here, so it was awesome. Fucking such a crowd. And then, so they come back, you know, a year later to do their own gig, where they're headlining, and then they've got a band with them, and then we get the other slot. So we're like, I'm sitting going, this is fucking dream come true, dream gig for me. Still a great gig, but fucking not that good a crowd. And then they came back the following year, same thing happened. And it's unfortunate because they're such a fucking good band, man. But I guess it was maybe because it was midweek gigs, like a Tuesday or Wednesday. It's like,
yeah,
it's just the way their schedule worked.
And the thing is, man, I find Belfast is a very strange wee city when it comes to the things, you know. It's not, you know, it's not like the mainland UK. It's, you know, it's like, oh, it's a school night, you know. It's unless it's someone huge, people aren't going to make the effort, like, you know. And it is, it's a strange wee place, you know. But hey, there we go. We know that for the comedy as well.
You got to try and get the weekend, man, especially in Bali.
Yeah, and that's it, man. Well, that's cool, man. I mean, I'll let you get any sort of shout outs at the end, but I want to move on to your art. You've got your own page, Jones Art, on Facebook. Check that out, folks. I mean, what the fuck? Like, were you and Cax? And I've never met your brother, and I've seen your sister sing as well. I'm like, are you like a mutant family or something? Or did your dad, like, because all of you are like, Jesus, I've seen all you two guys, the art you do, the acting, you are great. I mean, Cax, and I'll say to him obviously next week. I mean, Cax, the first time I worked with Cax was just looking at the guy and going, I've never seen someone work with anyone so natural comedy. And the same with you when we did Tunnel Deeds, is it was like, you know, I was like, holy shit, I have to get this guy apart. I'm going to make this guy apart. That's how good you were. But do you know what I mean? What the fuck? You guys are, did they like strap you to tables and go, you've got to be good at art. You've got to play the guitar and you're not allowed to go outside.
I think that's why I wrote that song about experiments. Maybe I was an experiment.
Because honestly, I mean, it's and folks, check out the page, man. It's there for. I remember coming into, and I was like so proud. I mean, I remember taking like calling into your house to maybe do a filming day, and I've got my kids maybe have her help me out, or anybody that, you know, we've had like an after drinks legendary after party at Jones's house, you know, at Jones's pub, and Kathy, who's I cannot mention Kathy, and I'm like, I pointed the art and was like, Jones did that, you know, Jones did that, do you see that? It's fucking Jones did that, it's amazing.
I need you to my shit.
And that's the thing, I mean, it seems to be, you know, from what I can gather, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of your arts, it's inspired from comic books and music portraits and stuff like that there. I mean, I'll leave it over to you. I mean, I take it, to me, obviously, I can't turn and go, well, when did you start being an artist? Because by the sounds of it, that's something that starts, you know, when you're a kid.
Yeah.
Don't you, like...
I'll let you know now, you were saying about, are we mutants or something? I am ginger, so yes, I am a mutant. So that's where it starts. Well, basically, so my mum and dad can't draw. Well, my mum was okay, but she didn't really draw much. I've seen her sketch once or twice, and she seemed like a decent artist. But my dad can't draw a fucking... You can't draw anything. You should see his... version of a horse. It looks like a mouse. It's fucking...
he's a musician though, so come on.
Yeah. So we obviously get the musicianship from my dad. So then you've got R. Davey, who's a drummer, a fucking outstanding drummer, and then Cax, bassist. I'm the singer. R. Staff's the singer. So that's where we get that from. So, but I don't know where, like, all four of us are actually quite good at art as well.
Yeah.
The whole lot of us. So I don't know where we get the art thing from, but I'm guessing it's coming from that side of the brain or something anyway, where the music is.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, so if that comes along, then hopefully that'll tick along to acting or whatever that side of the brain is, you know, for the arts.
Yeah.
I was never very good at much anything else. Sports and arts. That's my side of
it's my three loves, man, you know, is sport, comedy and music. You know, that's my three. You know, that's my three things that I'm like, yep, that's me. I've got things that, you know, I've got tiers. I've got, that's the top, that's the three, and then below that, sort of movies and stuff like that there. But, you know, it's...
And you have to have your wee areas. Like, so, yeah, basically, I went from, in, I'll just go from, like, high school, I did pretty well. I think I got a B in my GCSE for art, and should have got an A. I got a B. I remember seeing another guy's artwork, and he got an A, and I was fucking raging. I was like, that, my stuff's better than that. I know it is.
At least you did better than me, man. I did technology and design, and it was like, we have to make an object that would help us in our house, and I kept going. I got to the second year, fourth year, I was like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to build stuff, I'll maybe be an engineer or something. And about 3 weeks into the fucking class, I went, why did I sign up for GCSE? So basically what I did was buy a table, and I kept telling my teacher, I'm making it at home.
No way, story. Did you fucking bring it story. To me? Oh, I made that?
Yeah. And I told him what I made it out of, because it looked like it was like a table my mum had it, and it was up in a room, and it had like a kidney-shaped top. And I was like, oh, I made a TV and video cabinet to put all my music and stuff and blah, blah, blah. So he had to come out and look at it. So all I did was paint the thing. All I did was varnish it. And I was like, oh, listen, I had to get my uncle to help me out with this wee bit and stuff, because my teacher wanted to make sure. And he's like, all right, no worries. So I'd forgot about, I'd forgot about it for a while. And a girl I know on Facebook was at an open night at the school and took a photo, and my photo. The photo of my table that I made was on for display. And oh, I was just like, truth be told, I didn't really make that.
Joseph did. Jesus is God.
It was the guy from B&Q. Anyway. But there you go. So yeah, so you did.
That's where your acting skills started.
Big time. It was the biggest bullshit I ever did. Yep. Like, it was just I got like a fucking, I think I got an E or something. It was times just, I give up. I was like, nah, I'm done. I'll just.
Do you think you got the E because they seen right through your cunning plan?
Yeah. E for excuse. Or E. You know. I'm surprised it wasn't lower, but there you go. But I was delighted with the E. I was like, yeah, that was good varnishing, Steve. Yeah. But there we go.
You thought it was E for excellent, and you were like, brilliant, I'll stick with that. But yeah. No, E means fail.
There you go. So,
done with GCSE then. Then I was like, what the fuck do I do after this? Like, so I was like, the only thing I'm really into in this particular school is art. So yeah. I'll go to Armagh Tech to pursue art and get A-level and then B-Tech and all that. And so I spent a few years there and fucking loved that as well, man. That was awesome. That's where I met Potty, who was telling you about who played rhythm guitar. Zero. I met him through Armagh Tech, so... If it wouldn't have went to Armagh Tech, Zero wouldn't have been born, really. You know, it all comes about. It all comes about.
It's a journey.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, I really still loved art throughout all them years. Armagh Tech was awesome. I used to actually go to Armagh Tech Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. every fucking day. Jesus. That's how much I loved doing art.
The thing. If you love something, time, it doesn't matter. You know, we did the week of filming with talent agents, which was unheard of for people, for it was professional and all that there, but you know what I mean? It wasn't funded. It was us funding it. And we worked and Bill will tell you more, because Bill was there from being director, had to be here from start to finish, but it never felt like work. Do you know what I mean? It was like you just woke up the next day and went, oh, that's awesome, though, you know, that you're able to go.
Yeah. That's it, man. We had so much fun. I guess it was the people as well, you know. Like, I liked to stay there because the people were fun, you know, and I met so many good people there. So then, I did the Armagh Attack thing, got a load of kind of qualifications in that, and then went, right, what's the next progression? Where do I go now? Belfast's the most kind of party, and all was heading up to Belfast, and I was like, we'll go up and we'll all live again, we'll have the crack and go to college, university, you know. So I decided, right, I'll go to Biffy in Belfast, Belfast Institution, not for mental people.
For higher education.
Education. Just not Belfast Institution. No. padded cells and all that. So decided to do that. And the only course I was looking to be an illustrator or animator.
Yeah.
Belfast didn't really have that.
Yeah.
So kind of like I wanted to be a comic book artist, to be truthful, like that type of thing. So the next closest thing I thought was graphic design. I was like, I'll go up graphic design. You're designing stuff and, you know, you're creating things. I was like, fuck it, I'll give out a shot. And it was going to be a 2-year course. And I did it for a year. And it was all about fucking using computers and stuff. And I was like, I'm a freehand artist. Like, I want to paint. And I don't want to do stupid graphics on a computer and make a logo for a fucking shop with, like, just a H, and I have to be creative with the letter H, you know, like.
It's not bollocks, man. I mean, that's the thing, mate. I think and if there's anyone who's young listening to this podcast, and there probably isn't, but just in case someone's listening to it and you're hearing, yous are really lucky. Now, I know there's a fucking pandemic on, but I'm talking about in general, the amount of things that have changed in Northern Ireland from. I wish the opportunities were there when I was 18, 19. There probably was, but it was, to me, I didn't know about half the stuff. So it kind of was like, well, I'll go and do my own job. I wish I knew about all the stuff, the opportunities that are about now. And I think it's probably, now, don't get me wrong, maybe now there's probably still nothing you can do in Belfast towards art. I don't know, you know, as the opportunities are there. But in general, in terms of arts and stuff, it's exploded in the past 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Whereas in the early 2000s and late 90s, Belfast was a totally different city. It was really rebuilding, really, you know, from all the nonsense that went on before. And so that's the thing about, it was always frustrating that there, you know, it was always kind of a bit shit. You know, when it comes to things like that there, it's like, can you not get someone and encourage them to be creative? Do you know
that was it, man. It was like, I actually, when I left Armagh Tech, I went to interview and audition for one place rather than just Belfast, and that was the John Muir School in Liverpool.
That's where Holly goes.
mentioned that, and I was like, fuck, I remember interviewing there. Yeah. And went in, done my interview to try and get in there to be an artist. And I think that would have been more lucrative for me. And I think there would have been more illustration and maybe animation and stuff then. But I never got it, unfortunately. So I ended up in Belfast anyway. So did 1 year of this shitty fucking graphic design course and quit straight after they transferred. I was like, right, I'm going back to drama. And went over to another part of Biffy, and it was like straight into performing arts. And I was there for like 3 years, and fucking that was without a doubt even better than Armagh Attack, which was great. But the people learning so much and performing all the time, and most of it was practical, which I loved. That's all I wanted to do was practice, like create an act and fucking perform and direct and, you know. So that was it, man. From Armagh Attack to Biffy, performing arts. That was it. And then eventually, I topped up my degree in Queens, and I tried to do it the best way possible, which was do as many plays as possible with as little writing courses as possible.
Yeah.
So That's, I ended up doing three plays in 1 year, which was pretty impressive.
That is one. But again, you were stuck in the bubble of Belfast. And that's something I was, you know, you were saying about, you know, my daughter being in over in Liverpool, John Moores, she's doing film studies. And it was like night and day, you know, doing it in Belfast or do it in Liverpool. There's no brainer. Liverpool as a city, man, is such. It's where the Beatles came from. Do you know what I mean? But it has the art, it has the acting. It's just such a cultured city. And unfortunately, they don't get me wrong. Belfast is starting to do that, and that's great. But you know, Liverpool have had that advantage of, you know, not having the troubles and, you know, having all this stuff and the opportunities.
Yep.
The opportunities of work, you know, over there compared to the opportunities of work over here.
Yeah.
It was a no-brainer, you know, it was like that's where she wanted to go and you know, thankfully she got in, you know. So I think that's the unfortunate thing for you, man. I think if you had have ended up going to say somewhere in England, you would have had a hell of a chance of getting some, you know, the opportunity wise and the amount of acting jobs and stuff over there as well. You know, it's really lacking here.
It is, and especially for getting a decent agent and stuff. You know what I mean? So many more over in England, obviously. Manchester, fucking, you know, London, of course.
Yeah.
But I think the opportunity would have been a hell of a lot better there. But, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles, man. I've ended up here this whole time. Not like I've regretted it, but
exactly.
I wish the opportunity, there would have been more opportunities.
Same here. I think, you know, you know, Sarah always reminds me when I was 20, she kept pushing me to do stuff, comedy. And I didn't know anyone or anything. And I was like, I don't fucking know where to start. And I kind of went, well, and then we were married and we had kids. And I was like, well, I've enjoyed that. You know, but there's, you know, I wish I had to push myself more and go, I wish I had to start 10 years earlier. Might have had it, you know, but again, getting back to what was said at the start, and what a theme that's throughout this podcast is, I've enjoyed it. You've enjoyed all the stuff you've done. So that's the big deal, like, you know, but anyway, man, sorry, we're getting away from the art, your page, man. I mean, the some of the stuff, I mean, what, you've sold some art as well, you know, and you know, sell your art, my friend. Here's your platform for all six of my listeners.
Hello, 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 and hello.
But yeah, man, so you were saying about, you know, all that there, but you've started Jones Art up. How long is that? A couple of years now?
It's only a couple of years, man. Like, I've been doing art kind of, like, I did stop doing it when I dropped out of that shitty graphic design course, and then I pursued acting for a while, and then also dropped out of that for quite a few years until I started that back up again with Bram Mulholland and Kieran McKeever, and we did McKeever and Jones. But you know, then I started getting back into doing art again. I think I was out of a job at one point, and me and Kathy were going together, and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to just start painting canvases and stuff again. And I kind of got back into it, and I was like, you know, I didn't miss a beat. Like, I would do a painting, and it's always nerve-wracking at the start of a painting. I don't know why, because I'm like, I know it'll turn out all right in the end. But it's always nerve-wracking. I guess it's like that first thing in comedy, you know, until you get the first laugh, and then you're sweet. Yeah, it's the same thing with painting for me. Like, I'll paint the black. I do these weird canvases where not a lot of people do this. I paint my background black on most of my canvases, and then I work from that. A lot of people do white or a color. I do black, and then I go on top of that because I like the black background. It depends obviously on the image, but that's how I do it anyway. I've been doing that for years. That's kind of, I guess, my style. That's Jones Art style.
There you go. That's your mark.
Yeah, that's it. I guess that's it. You know, so I just straight up do that, and then I start sketching on top of it, you know, with a pencil, so you can see it on top of the black. And then that's where I start doing the layers and start painting. But see, just before that, that's where I'm getting, I get nervous. I don't know why. But like I said, I guess it's something to do with the comedy thing or the music thing until I sing the first few lines and kind of hit my keys or hitting my notes. That's when I know then it's working. And then eventually I get through. I'm like, yeah, I've worked out pretty good.
But yeah, and of course you're nervous because that's the thing about doing any kind of art. It's whether it's art or singing or acting, you're putting yourself out there. You're vulnerable. Yeah. You put yourself out there. Do you know what I mean?
You're basically like I could do a painting. I could do a painting right now and not show it to anybody ever. Yeah. But I don't see the point. Not like, well, yes, it's nice to maybe put up in the house or something. But I like to show it and go, what do you think? Like, you know, it's like, yeah. I don't know if that's a fucking particular ego thing or not, but I think you're looking some sort of criticism, whether it's good or bad, just to people to go, that's fucking pretty cool. And then you're like, nah, I'm happy with myself. I did a good job.
It's the nature of art, mate. Art isn't there to be in the cupboard. That's the whole point of it is you want to show people. Of course, it's the same. Listen, man, ego. I've always said, name me a person that doesn't have an ego. And they're a liar. Do you know what I mean? Because we all have an ego. We all want to show. It's the same with the comedy. You want people to laugh, and it's the same as the art. You want people to go, "That's really good," and you're like, "I know that." Do you know? I'm sure you look at your pictures and go, "That's fucking awesome," and then you get someone else saying, "You're going, see, they think it's awesome. I know it's awesome. They think it too." You know?
I guess so. Like, yeah. So, yeah, man. Like I said, I did that. Skeletor one recently, and now I've got, it's only a wee small painting, like 8x10 or something inches, and I've another one now painted black ready to go, and I'm going to do the He-Man's face from the movie cover as well, so it'll be like a double wee painting thing. So it's Skeletor from the Masters of the Universe movie and He-Man from the Masters of the Universe film. It'll be a nice wee trooper to stick up.
Sounds good, man. I mean, it is, guys. Check it out. Check Jones Art out. Like the page. People will actually ask you, could the paint, you know, I don't know if is it,
you'll, yeah, man,
requests and stuff like that as well.
I'll do that and try and figure out a price, man. I try not to charge too much, but you know, art takes a fucking hell of a long time. Depends on what you want and what size of canvas, whatever, but I try not to rip the piss with price.
No, but you know what? Whatever your band's going to be, you just listen. All I would say is look at the page and the art will speak for itself, man. You know, it's amazing. The Spider-Man one is my favorite one. You know, just amazing. So it is.
Weird, man.
So guys, definitely check out Jones Art page. So we're kind of winding up now anyway, man. And I'm sure we're going to be back because I think we need to talk more about the acting as well, because I was just very interested to hear about your music and stuff. We've kind of briefly talked about it while we've shot the shit, we're having a few drinks or whatever, but it was just really interesting to hear where you started and your process and stuff. But we'll have you back, man. We'll have you back. We'll shoot the shit about the writing and the comedy and stuff like that. There.
I thought you said the writing and the comedy.
The writing and the comedy. That's it. Rock and roll, boys.
and also the writing.
And the writing too. But listen, again, check out. Or to tell you what, do you know what? Jones, plug away, sir. I'll leave the floor open to yourself.
Right, okay.
Working with Brian Cursed Son.
Cursed Son on Facebook. I think we're on Twitter. I don't really use that. We're definitely on Instagram. We've got YouTube page plus other stuff. If you type in Cursed Son Metal, you'll find a load of stuff. There's a couple of new videos up there. Some loads of live stuff. Spotify as well, Cursed Son. Found all our stuff's on there, the whole kip and caboodle, whole six CDs. Jones Art, I was just going to say, if I do a Jones Art painting, I don't do prints of it, so it's a one-off. It's never going to be replicated.
Yep.
A lot of people do prints of their artwork and sell their prints for like a tenner or whatever. I don't do that. I think I would rather my stuff just be a one-off for somebody. So
can
they'll never.
A little bit.
I get it. Like you're like looking to get it out to more people, but I'd prefer just to give something to somebody that's special and go, that's yours and it's a one-off and you'll never get that again, you know?
Yeah.
Apart from that, man, the Sixth Sense, the buys.
Oh, check yes. I haven't plugged them at all, mate. Never talk about them.
No, not at all.
Yes, listen to the Sixth Sense podcast where you'll hear both Jones and I with the other two, Bill and young Caxington Chase, shit. Every week because we're a bit like this podcast. We're starting to whack them out every week now. So
yep.
Check that shit out. Have you heard my new tagline for the end of the show? It's I've been Stephen Barrett, you've been
Jones,
and we've been talking bollocks. See you next week, folks. So as a wee bonus, we're going to play one of Cursed Son's tunes. Big thanks to Jones for coming onto the podcast. And this is Replicant.
Scarab, another side of me. How do you feel? hold your life until